We're going to talk about praying in tongues. And today we want to answer partly the question of, can everyone receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost? When I was young, I had a lot of questions with people because I sought after praying in tongues. The church I attended, they believed in praying in tongues. They mostly practiced it during church service, but they believed in the baptism of the Holy Ghost and praying in tongues. And I had a lot of friends and a lot of people in other groups that I was connected to that didn't believe it was for everyone. And we had many questions. And back then, my answer was simply, you know, my pastor said so. That's all I really knew. But I knew just at my core, I had a feeling it had to be right, that if God gave something to someone, he would give it to others. You know, it's similar with children. Every grandparent knows you can't just buy one kid a bike and leave the other grandkids nothing. You know, everyone gets an equal gifting during Christmas or on birthdays. It's kind of normal. It's natural. So it seems odd to think that, well, God's going to give a gift that he says will change you to one person, but not to the other one. And I can get the question. I understand the question, especially if someone said, okay, God, I want to receive it. Hit me and I'll take it. If you hit me with it, I'll take it. But they're not really seeking after it. See, the foundation of believing God for things is first you must believe it, and then you must receive it. That's the foundation of believing anything for God. So when we throw things up in the air and say, okay, well, God, if you want to give it to me, give it to me. Well, we find that doesn't work because we'd all be perfect. We'd all be like we are, will be when we're in heaven. No sickness, no disease, no sorrow. We'd all be victorious because that's God's heart for us. So just in basic understanding of God, there must be a believing first and then a receiving second for us to receive things from God. You can't just put it on to God. Well, if you want me to be healed, heal me. If you want me to quit cussing, okay, make me quit cussing. The young lady came to the youth pastor and said, I'm in love with a bad guy. He's a motorcyclist. He's a druggie. But I love him. And last night I went to God. I said, God, if you don't want me to love him anymore, then just take it out of my heart. Well, this morning I woke up, Pastor, and I still love him. So it must be God's will. You can understand kind of the error in thinking like that. The three pastors who met and were meeting weekly, the one said, yeah, what I do is for my offering, the way I handle it is I draw a big circle and then a little circle in between. And I take the offering and I throw it up in the air and I say, God, whatever you want me to have personally will land in the little circle. And whatever you want for the church work will be in the big circle. And whatever's in the little circle, I just take that. And whatever's in the big circle, I use to fund the church works. The other pastor said, oh, I do the same thing. I have a little circle and a big circle around it. And I do the same thing. I go up and I take my offer and I throw it up in the air. But for me, whatever lands in the little circle, that's for the work. He's a prosperity preacher. Whatever lands in the little circle, that's for the work of the ministry. And whatever lands in the big circle, that's for me personally. Well, the third preacher said, I do that too. It's great. It's a great idea. So what I do is I take all the money in the offering, I throw it up in the air and I say, God, whatever you want to keep for the kingdom, you keep. And whatever comes down to the ground, that's for me personally. You know, there's an error in thinking that God's able to intervene in our life because we ask him to without believing and receiving. Well, that's for prosperity. That's for healing. And it's especially for praying in other tongues. So we want to answer that question today and maybe give you some answers for yourself personally. I no longer argue with people. If someone says, I believe that God is not a healer, and I say to them, well, that's true. For you, that's true. He won't be your healer because you won't believe it or receive it. I believe that God wants me to be this way. Well, that's true because you're not trying to believe things or receive them from the Word of God. You're just trying to blame God for your situation. And so I don't get into discussions with people who want to prove things. I don't mind answering questions, but I rather believe in the Word of God and in the truth of the Word of God than someone's opinion. It's a silly thing to go to someone who doesn't believe in tongues and try to get their advice about praying in tongues, because they've already made up their mind that I don't believe it's for me. I asked God to give it to me. He didn't give it to me. I'm willing to do it. When I first went to get baptized in the Holy Ghost, I wanted it. And the preacher said, okay, be baptized. And I stuck my tongue out and I just left it there. I didn't understand. I thought God was going to grab my tongue and flap it around and just hit me with it. And I had to learn that I had to believe it and receive it. And so today I'm answering questions for you, not to argue with anyone. I don't go to people who don't eat meat, vegans, and learn how to make a steak because they don't believe in eating meat. So why would I go to them for advice on how to cook a steak? And you don't go to someone who has never rode a motorcycle for advice about riding motorcycles because they don't know. Same thing, you don't want to get your opinion about praying in tongues from someone who already has proven they're not interested in it, they don't believe it. And God bless them, God will work with them, and they're still wonderful people going to heaven, and God will use them in His kingdom. But you're obviously someone who believes it and has received it or wants to receive it. I'm going to have a link in the description of the YouTube channel for two videos. One about being baptized in the Holy Ghost if you don't pray in tongues, and the other about how to help people who struggle with being baptized in the Holy Ghost. That'll be in the description. Today we're going to answer the question, use some scripture to kind of prove from the Word that, yes, praying in tongues is for every believer. We'll start in John chapter 14. And I'm going to read to you from verse 15 down to 18. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he'll give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. So that one sentence answers the question. When I got saved, I was also baptized in the Holy Ghost. I received His Spirit. Well, this is the answer that's not accurate. No, when you got saved, you received a new nature from God, but not the Holy Spirit. It's a different experience. You must seek Jesus to be saved and then seek the Helper to receive Him, to give Him permission to step into your life. The Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him or knows Him. But you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. So this is an important instruction by Jesus to say, right now, as unsaved men, in your carnality, you do have an experience with the Holy Spirit as He has worked in your ministry. He's worked upon you to see people healed, to see the blind see, to see miracles. But there's a better work He's going to be able to do once you're born again. Because at this moment, Jesus had not died or been glorified yet. So they couldn't be born again. For He dwells with you and will be in you. So He's telling them there's a work that the Holy Spirit wants to do through you. And He wants to be in you after you're saved. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. That's another important sentence, because it tells us that the Holy Spirit working in your life and leading your life is how Jesus was not going to leave them as orphans, is by having a relationship with the Holy Spirit as a mentor, as a guide, as a teacher, as an instructor, as a helper. That is the role of the Holy Spirit, to be as a father to you in many ways, to help lead you, but help you to grow and mature in everything God has for you. So the Holy Spirit's role is to come in us, then do a work inside of us first, so then He can do a work through us. Many in the church world have learned to work with the Holy Spirit, much like the Old Testament disciples before they were saved. They were Old Testament saints. They weren't born again yet. Many in the church world who are saved have still limited the Holy Spirit to work among them and upon them through His gifts, but not allowing Him to do the work in them because they haven't built that relationship with Him through praying in the Holy Spirit. And someone might say, yeah, that's good preaching, but He's talking to the disciples. And the disciples are all dead, Alan, so the work of the Holy Spirit must have died with them. Well, let me take you to another verse here in Mark chapter 16. You know this verse called the Great Commission, starting in verse 15, Mark 16, verse 15. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow," not the disciples, not the apostles, not even the pastors, teachers, evangelists, not those called to ministry. These signs will follow those who believe. Now, the believing here is that those who are saved. You are a believer. You're born again. God's heart for you, His plan for you includes these signs following you in your life. Those who believe in my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. And they'll take up serpents. If they drink anything deadly, they by no means hurt them. They'll lay hands on the sick and they will recover. The praying of tongues is available to every believer, not just a select few, every believer. Now, the verse that was quoted to me often, and I've already talked to you about this in the series, but we'll go there just to touch it, is in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Well, look here, Alan. This is what they would say to me. Look here in chapter 12, verse 30. Do all have the gift of healings? That's a rhetorical question. No. Do all speak with tongues? No. And they would say that to me. So, Alan, you know, it's okay that you pray in tongues. God bless you. I think that's great. But God hasn't given me the gift of praying in tongues. And so you shouldn't preach that people should seek it. They can ask God for it. If it doesn't come to them, then God doesn't want them to have it. Again, that doesn't make sense when you know the heart of God, when you know the heart of the Father. As we've answered this before, the answer to that is simple. You just have to go up to verse 29. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? He's talking about the callings, the different jobs we have in the body of Christ. Are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? No. Do all have the gifts of healings? No. Do all speak with tongues? No. Do all interpret? The fact that you have the interpreter there, beside the gift of the speaking of tongues, that tells you this is a job in the church. This is where someone in a service would speak in a tongue for the service, and then someone else would interpret it into the known language. So this is a gift that's on certain people. It's equal to prophecy when you have the interpreter for the church service. It is not talking about the believers. Every believer has the option, has the ability to receive the Holy Spirit and to practice praying in tongues. This is God's ministry to you personally. This edifies you personally. Let's look at another verse here. We'll go to the famous verses here in Acts chapter 1. It's okay for you to hunger for all of God. Don't let anyone ever talk you out of that. What a shame that people have been taught out of seeking the Holy Spirit and praying in tongues. What a shame. Jesus tells his disciples in Acts chapter 1. Oh, we'll start in verse 4. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You've heard from me." And John truly baptized you in water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" And he said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." So Jesus said, "Now I want you to go into Jerusalem and wait here in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes upon you. This is all tied into the Feast of Pentecost. They were there in Jerusalem, and many other Jews came to Jerusalem from around the world to celebrate the day of Pentecost. In chapter 2, verse 1, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. So all of them who obeyed Jesus and went to the upper room, not everyone who heard that went. There was only 120. And isn't that interesting? Why was there only 120? There could have been more. But only 120 obeyed Jesus, believed Jesus. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared on them divided tongues. So in other words, it looked like lightning bolts. Divided tongues of fire zapped each of them and set upon each of them. So out of the 120, these are not all disciples. Mary Magdalene would have been there. Jesus' mother Mary was probably there. 120 followers of Jesus were in the upper room, and it says that there appeared on them divided tongues as fire, and one set upon each of them. It doesn't say now one set on half of them, on a third of them. Two people were left out, you know, the ones that God didn't like, the children he wasn't, that weren't special. No, the tongues came upon each of them. Well, that's a simple answer. Here, right here, we see that out of the 120, not all of them were disciples or apostles or ministers, but because they were in the upper room seeking God and obeying Jesus, when the Holy Spirit came, he fell upon them. He didn't fall on all the other Jews and people in the area, just on them. This is the birthing of the church right here. This here is the birthing of the church. The church should never plan to operate ever without this message of speaking in tongues and seeking a relationship with the Holy Spirit, where each believer seeks a relationship with the Holy Spirit, where the Holy Spirit will work in them through praying in other tongues. The church should never go forward without this. This was the birthing of the church, which included praying in tongues. So many people go to church. The carnal church goes, I call it the carnal tree of ministry, the church that follows that plan, that pattern. They're about gathering as many people as they can. And praise God, God's happy because they're getting more people into heaven and keeping them hopefully as long as they can till they get to heaven. But it's turned the believers into seekers, people who seek God through man, seek God through other preachers, through other ministries. We have whole thousands and millions of Christians who are remaining immature because they've been taught how to receive from a man, how to receive from a church system, rather than to go to the helper that Jesus intended them to help them the most, and that is the Holy Spirit. You have a calling on your life. You have a place in the body of Christ, and you desire for it to come to pass. Well, why don't you let the one who made the plan for you help walk you there? And that's what praying in tongues does. One of the things it helps to do is pray the will of God for your life and to help you to walk into his will, not your plans. It's amazing how the busyness of church ministry, church activity, although it's all good, how it can be a distraction from the necessity of praying in tongues. And I spent many years busy in church, serving God and praying in tongues on the side. And did it once in a while, did it in church when we did it, but never really realized that this is an actual tool that God placed in me and handed me the rights to that, use that tool to transform myself with the help of the Holy Spirit. And I spent all those years trying to change, trying to be someone I wanted to be, struggling and struggling over and over. And it wasn't until I heard Pastor Dave preach for the first time in February of 1993. And he said, if you pray in tongues a lot, it will change you. And I thought at the time, well, I've tried everything else. I've tried discipline. I've tried prayer lines. I've tried accountability. I've tried casting out the devil. I tried crying out to God. But I seemed to be stuck in a few areas that I needed a helper to help me to walk through those areas. And just in understanding who God was. My only understanding is what other men had taught me at that point. And what I felt was right and wrong, but I didn't have a real foundation in my own self. As I began to pray in tongues, the foundation of truth began to build in my inner man. And I began to see truth from his eyes rather than my own eyes. And that helped me to get rid of a lot of untruths that were in me, in my natural mind, from other preachers and me reading the word and mixing it up. The Holy Spirit is necessary. Praying in tongues is necessary for us to really ever fulfill what God has for us. If your goal in life is just to make it to heaven, then really, I guess you don't need the helper of the Holy Spirit, because all you need is Jesus. All you need is to be born again. There's a group of people who believe that the Holy Spirit and God does not speak to us and lead us like he did with the disciples. And so they even believe in the Old Testament that he doesn't speak to us like he did to Moses or Noah, that once the disciples died, the birthing of the church was the Word of God. And so therefore, all we need is the Word of God. It's all you need. You just need the Word of God, and you don't need anything else. You don't need to hear voices or listen to God. God spoke to you. Sure, he did. Sure, that's, you're just dreaming. You're making that up. The Word of God is all there is for us to learn from. And it's kind of funny because that's what they say. They say the Word of God is always all we need. But then when you take a verse and you understand it differently than they do, they'll send you to hell. Well, you're wrong. You're going to hell. So what they're saying is their interpretation of the Word of God is right. And that's how deceived they are. They're willing to send you to hell because you disagree with them. But yet the only teacher they give you is the Word of God. Well, we all can read the Word and get all kinds of different things out of it and not understand it. The Word of God was written by the Holy Spirit through men, so we can go to the Holy Spirit and he could teach us individually what it means. And the avenue for that is praying in other tongues. So is it for everyone? Well, the verses we've seen so far about baptizing in the Holy Spirit is that they spoke with other tongues. Now, when you're seeking, you'll learn in one of those how to help people who pray in tongues videos that will have in the description. I believe that if you ask the Holy Spirit to come in you, that he does. And then he's able to start working and leading you in your life. And you say, well, I don't pray in tongues yet. Well, that's okay. I believe you're already baptized in the Holy Ghost, but you haven't allowed him or yielded over enough to him to allow the praying in tongues to begin to flow out of you. And so you don't need to keep seeking to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. You just need to understand and learn how to pray in tongues, how to let it flow out of you, and to let the Holy Spirit begin the work inside of you that he really wants to do. He wants to do a work inside of you, so then he can do a work through you to help other people. The main work of the Holy Spirit is not through the dramatic anointings or experiences people seek after. It's really on the inside of you. That's the work he really wants to do first. It's the work on teaching you, instructing you, mentoring you, leading you, and helping to transform you out of living out of the outward man so you begin to live out of a mature inner man. Starting to preach a little bit. I need to get on course here. Let's go over to Acts chapter 10. Now, I'm just going to take a few verses today, a few moments out of the scripture today. I'm not going to try to overshoot. I just want you to be confident that when you tell people that praying in tongues is available for everyone, if someone asks you, you can answer and say, yes, it's for everyone. There's scripture to prove that. And if it's not for everyone, then you need to give me scripture to prove that the personal prayer life, someone was rejected from receiving the personal prayer life. God, I want to pray in tongues. Nope, not for you. Nope, you don't get the bicycle. Your brother does, but you don't get a bicycle. Here, I'll give you a pencil instead. There's nowhere in scripture you find that. The only verse they use is, do all pray with tongues? No, and we've just shown that is for the gift of tongues for the church service, not the personal prayer language. And you have to have an interpreter for that one. Acts chapter 10. Always remember that God is not a respecter of persons. Just that understanding will help you see that to all of his children, when he works with you personally, as a believer, this is outside your calling. Now, someone who's called to be an apostle has access to gifts that someone who's called to be an entrepreneur doesn't have. Someone who's called to be an evangelist has access to gifts outside of something a pastor can receive. That's the carnal tree of ministry. So in our callings, there is differences. But as children of God, as believers, everything's equal. There's no one more important or more valuable in the kingdom of God than you. You are as important as Apostle Paul to the kingdom of God. God has a plan for you and a purpose for you. Now, that helps us understand why churches are so full of people that don't teach strong messages. It's not just the preacher's fault that he's teaching a sweet message without maturity. The people want to hear that, go there. The people who that's all they want to have is an easy life and don't want to face themselves or overcome things. They just want to be blessed. They pay those preachers. Good. They want that kind of preaching. And God will give them what they'll take as long as his goal is to get them to heaven first. But secondly, his goal is for us to have an impact on this world, which requires us facing our own flesh and overcoming things. Acts chapter 10, verse 44. Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all of those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been given, poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter answered. So here we see even the Gentiles, but they were baptized with the Holy Ghost and they heard them speak with tongues. That's how they knew they were baptized in the Holy Ghost. The evidence that you've been baptized in the Holy Ghost is that you pray in other tongues. Now, can someone be baptized in the Holy Ghost and not pray with tongues? Yes. If you ask the Holy Spirit as a believer and say, I would like to receive the Holy Spirit, he'll come and abide in that inner man with you. But then his main tool to feed you, to lead you and guide you is the praying in tongues. So even though you're baptized in the Holy Ghost and not praying in tongues, you've limited the Holy Spirit to what he can do inside of you, because that's the avenue he chooses to use the most. It's not his only avenue. He can nudge you and speak to you in dreams and visions, yes, but that's the smallest way to learn from the Holy Spirit. The quickest way, the greatest way, the most potent way to allow the Holy Spirit to turn your life upside down, to begin to transform you into a child, to a young adult, to a mature believer, is by praying in tongues. So I won't say that you're not baptized in the Holy Ghost if you're not praying in tongues. I believe that if you sought him to baptize you to pray in tongues and you have a difficulty praying in tongues, I went through that. And I had to humble myself to learn how to yield over to him, to get past my natural intellect, to yield over to him so I could pray in tongues. So here, the reason they knew they were baptized in the Holy Ghost was that they did speak with tongues. It wasn't just, okay, I am baptized in the Holy Ghost. They seen the proof by the praying in tongues, for they heard them speak with tongues. You can't hear it if they're not praying it. Did every one of them get it? It looks here that every one of them did. Not one was left aside. Said, well, you're not good enough. You know, some old-timey holiness preaching will say, well, you won't ever get baptized in the Holy Ghost if you're not clean, if you're not holy. You know, if you got issues and problems, the Holy Spirit will never go into an unclean vessel. Well, everything about your outward soul is really unclean compared to what God has built on the inside of you. So, no, that's like telling someone that there's no sense having a shower until you're clean. No need to have a shower until you're already clean. That's the purpose of a shower, to clean you. Well, the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to help transform you. So that's a silly idea that you need to get perfect. Let me just tell you, you can be a complete disaster, a complete mess. The only requirements for you to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and to pray with other tongues is that you're born again and that you ask the Holy Spirit to baptize you and you yield over to the praying of other tongues. That's it. You don't have to worry about, I'm not clean. Someone says, well, I failed. I struggle with sin. I'm embarrassed to go to the Holy Spirit. I won't pray in tongues because I'm... No, that's... He knows your weaknesses. That's why he's there, to help you to overcome those things, to help you to get victory in those areas of your life. The best thing you can do after you fail is start praying in tongues. Yeah, good. You feel ugly. You feel ashamed. Good. You should, because that was a stupid decision. But he's not embarrassed by that. I tell a story of when it rained outside one day and I was sitting in the living room on my chair and I heard Christy talk to the kids. They were tiny. Ava at that time loved Harrison. She still loves Harrison, but at that time she followed Harrison wherever he went. If he touched a toy, she'd walk behind him and touch the toy. And I heard Christy give them the speech. I just cleaned the house. I just cleaned the floors. There's some muddy stuff, places out in the backyard. So you can go out and play, but don't get into the mud. Stay out of the mud. Well, you know, Harrison, first thing he did was go run and jump in the mud. Well, Ava followed right behind him. Well, it wasn't long after they came running into the house to show me something they found. Can't remember if it was a toad or a snail or something. And they came running through the house, and I heard Christy in her Tennessee voice, kind of a little louder and a little high-pitched, stop, stop, I just mopped the floor, stop. And they trucked mud all the way through the kitchen floor as they came running into the living room, saw me in the chair. You know, I'm a dad, so I'm like, come here, come here. And they jumped on my lap, and they were showing me what they found. They're covered in mud, and mud was all over the place. See, I can tell the difference between my children, who I love with all my heart, and the mud that's on them, the dirt and the mud and the grime. I can see the difference. It doesn't change how much I love them because they got mud on them. Well, that's how the Holy Spirit feels about you when you're going through battles and struggles and failures. He can see you through all that, and he's here for you. And he will help wash you clean. He'll help lead you to the blood of Christ to cleanse you, to wash you white as snow. Don't ever be afraid of the Holy Spirit. If you're a child of God, he's your helper. That's what Jesus said. I will not leave you as orphans. I sent you the Holy Spirit so I don't have to leave you as orphans. You know what that means? That the people who don't believe in praying in tongues, even though they're saved, they're walking through this world like orphans. They're asking God for help. God, help me, lead me. But then the work that they want to do for him, they're doing in their own natural ability because they haven't let the Holy Spirit come work on the inside of them. The modern church world, listen, the carnal tree of ministry is a mess. It's a mess of carnality, trying to please God, serve God, do things for God. There's a more excellent way. And that's allowing the Holy Spirit to work inside of you, to bring forward the fruit of that new nature, love of Jesus, the joy of Jesus, the peace of Jesus, the long-suffering, the kindness of Christ, to bring that forward into your inner man and to overtake your life. I don't care how much of a failure you think you are. You have a helper, God, the Holy Spirit, who wants to help you inch by inch, centimeter by centimeter, overcome things, face things, win, and have victory. He's not just there when you're victorious. He's there when you're defeated, and he's there to help lift you up and encourage you and to help build you up on the inside above all the mess of the carnal man that you're wearing. You should believe in him. Don't believe in yourself. Believe in him, because he loves you and is for you. These people, when Peter prayed for them, they were baptized in the Holy Ghost and they spoke with other tongues. Over in Acts 19, we'll start in verse 1. And it happened while Apollos was in Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus and finding some disciples. So Apollos was preaching salvation in Jesus. And he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" So they're already saved by Apollos' preaching, but Apollos himself hadn't experienced the Holy Spirit yet as a teacher. He was preaching what he knew and preaching about salvation. As I know, he was a wonderful preacher, a very talented teacher. And Paul said to them in verse 2, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" So they said to him, "We have not so much have heard anything that is there is a Holy Spirit." So Apollos' message did not complete, wasn't complete. Anyone who doesn't preach what Paul is preaching here isn't completing the whole gospel. The whole gospel includes salvation and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Do you think that we're baptized in the Holy Spirit and given the gift of tongues just for that to be it, to do it once in a while? You know, there's a lot of people who believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They get baptized in the Holy Ghost. I was one of them. But yet they only pray in tongues once in a while. And those are the ones you find, they talk about baptism in the Holy Ghost, but you don't see, you see wrong doctrine and wrong thinking, chasing after wrong things. So just because someone believes in praying in tongues, if you don't practice it, you're not getting it done. That's like saying I've got a bunch of food set on the table for you, but if you don't eat it, you're not going to be full. You've got to eat the food. You've got to pray in tongues for it to do what it's supposed to do. It's not just about getting the Holy Spirit in you. It's about now that he's in you, he wants to pray through you, his will, his mysteries, his truth into your life, your calling, your victories, everything you face, everything I face. I have a helper, the Holy Spirit, who will help build me up on the inside so I can overcome it. And the avenue he uses is praying in tongues. Verse 2, Paul said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said to him, "We have not so much have heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." And he said to them, "Into what then were you baptized?" They said, "Into John's baptism." So kind of a baptism repentance. Apollos must have said, "If you accept Jesus, be baptized in water and repent and be saved." And Paul said, "John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus." When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. So now Paul made sure they got the complete gospel. Not just that you had to repent and change, Paul's message, but also you had to believe in Jesus and be baptized in the Holy Ghost to speak with other tongues. And look what it says here in verse 6. I'm going to close with this verse. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. The Holy Spirit, when he comes in you, that is his greatest tool, and he does not withhold it from any person. Any person who believes can receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost and the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Anything less than that is not the full gospel. So be encouraged today. I hope you've learned a little bit with me that it's okay to believe for the fullness of the gospel, even if others don't. And our job's not to go fix other people and argue with other people. I found in my youth, I would argue and I'd fight back, and I didn't have much ammunition, but I'd fight with you. One guy came, he was a Jehovah Witness, knocking on my door. His name was Bernard, an older guy, and he stuttered. And he sat down at my table and began to thrash me with the word. I mean, beat me up with the word of God, because I didn't know much. I was probably 19, and he was beating me up, beating the tar out of me, using verses and going to verses, and I never read. And, you know the word Trinity is not in the Bible? I didn't know that. All kinds of things. So finally, I just said, look, I'll tell you what, Bernard, I'll pray for you. Let me lay hands on you, and God will heal your stuttering. And I mean, I was just fighting back. God will heal your stuttering, and that'll prove that I'm right. And, of course, Jehovah Witness, he ran out. He made a new door running out of my house. He would not let me pray for him. And I don't know if it would work, but I was just trying to find something to fight back with. Well, now I have a little more evidence that I'm older from the Word of God. I don't fight people. I don't try to fix their doctrine. I don't get on Facebook and complain when someone doesn't believe like I believe, or send them to hell because they don't believe the Word like I believe the Word. I'm just doing my best to follow God, and as the Holy Spirit will work in you and you ask questions, I'm happy to answer questions, but I'm not into arguing or trying to prove something to someone who's trying to prove something to me. I'll answer questions, and you can take it to the Holy Spirit yourself. Take it to God yourself, and believe it or not. If you don't believe it, then you won't have it. No problem. If you don't believe tongues is for you, then don't worry. He won't zap you and make you pray in tongues. If you don't believe healing's for you, no worry. You won't be healed. You know, everything we receive from God, first we must believe, and then we must receive. That's called humility. Amen. Well, I hope I blessed you today. Thank you again for spending time with me. I'm always blessed that you are willing to spend a little time with me. Let me teach you. I'll see you again soon. God bless you.